Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Back in 1936, the Brooklyn psychoanalyst Karen Horney took on a very New York subject, neurosis. In her book, The Neurotic Personality of Our Time, and remember this is 1936, she isolated 10 distinct anxieties. 75 years later, along comes Paula Froelich, a contributing editor at Playboy and author of Mercury in Retrograde. She has published an article in this week's New York Observer, which looks at how Karen Horney's list has changed and how it hasn't. So continue the conversation passed down through generations of New Yorkers, from, I don't know, Dorothy Parker to Jerry Seinfeld through Woody Allen. We welcome Paula Froelich to WNYC to talk about neurosis and New York. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
So that 1936 book, just to be clear, was not particular to New York, not officially, right?
Not officially, but let's be honest. Like, there wasn't exactly a wide range for her to work from outside of New York. It's not like there were telephones everywhere and internet. So basically, most of her subjects were probably New Yorkers. And you know what, hilariously, though? You know her name is Karen Horney, but I think she pronounced it like Karen Horney.
Oh, yeah.
Neurotically, so that nobody would think that she was, in fact, Horney.
And it's spelled Karen with an
Horney.
E, so I understand.
Exactly.
And she published her work during the Great Depression. We're looking at it now in the Great Recession. What has changed over the 75 years?
Ironically, not much. She pretty much did the definitive work. But what has changed is technology. Like, you've got neurosis over Twitter, which, you know, some people say is national, but it started in New York, which I like to say neurosis is kind of like fashion. It starts in New York and spreads outward.
And what are we talking about on this list of 10?
The neurosis of Twitter, where people freak out. I was once at a dinner where I was with a TV producer and this guy, and he was really trying to get a show off the TV producer, and he ended it with, "Well, you know, I think my 30,000 Twitter followers want to hear what I have to say." And I was like, slap in the middle of the forehead, really? And it's sadly not the first time that I've heard that. You know, or you get something like bed bugs. Bed bugs started, sadly, in New York. And you get people who won't even go to the theater anymore. They won't go to, see movies at all. They wait for DVD now.
Your phrase for the East Coast is the stress belt.
Yes.
So if the South and West are the Sun Belt, this is the stress belt.
Yes.
Is that just stereotyping when really people everywhere have the neuroses that, you know, human beings or at least Americans have in common?
Well, sadly, it's more than a stereotype. In 2008, there was a study done by Cambridge University that actually said we are the stress belt and actually said people here are way more neurotic and anxious and nuts. On the good side, we are also more liberal and kind and compassionate.
You would think that living close to our neighbors could make us friendlier as a survival and coping mechanism.
You know what? I like to look at my street as a microcosm of it. My street is Sullivan between Prince and Houston, and everyone knows each other. We all kind of look out for each other. But because we live on top of each other, we all have our own little peccadillos, because when you live so closely to people, you need to keep up your own little routine and your own little structure in order to maintain your individuality. You know, if you're living out in a huge house in Ohio with a yard, you don't need to worry about your neighbor being so close or setting up strict boundaries.
Listeners, you can call in with your New York micro neuroses. And do you think we live in the stress belt? 212-433-WNYC. And we'll define micro neuroses right now, give you a few examples from our guest, Paula Froelich, who wrote this book. Who wrote this article in the New York Observer about New York neurosis. Let's talk about your microneuroses. So, for example, you have an example of air conditioning drip.
Oh, okay. This is hilarious. When I get the assignment for this story, and I start, sending out emails, and I randomly get back from two people who work at the same magazine at Condé Nast, one who's on the dot-com side and one who's on the print side, literally almost at the same time going, oh, you mean like that air conditioning drip that falls on your head in the summer? And I'm like, okay, so this is a Condé magazine-specific neuroses, literally. And they don't even really know each other because they're on two different sides. But, you know, or the micro neuroses of every single person I talked to for this article, some who were named and some who were not, literally after telling me or detailing certain things, going, you're not going to make me sound crazy, right? I don't sound nuts, right? You know, like the fear of sounding crazy.
Okay, so air conditioning drip is one. What's another microneurosis in New York?
Oh, my goodness. There are – you can literally take almost anything. It's like the fear of silver in the subway. People who will ride the subway –
silver?
But they won't touch anything silver on the subway. Like anything that's silver.
Oh, like a pole so they like don't get other people's germs.
Or the door or whatever. Exactly. And you can literally ride the subway and watch people – being buffeted around a ride, but they will not grab onto something for their dear life because they're afraid of what they're going to touch.
212-433-WNYC-433-9692. Oh. Go ahead.
I got another one. I was talking to a woman who lives kind of by Astor Place, and she will not walk by the Starbucks on Astor Place because of the smell. Even if it's in her direct path, she says that that corner smells so badly. She has such a fear of that corner. She will cross and go around like two crosswalks out of her way to not pass by that because of her fear of that stink.
I think people are calling in with their New York microneuroses or the ones you see around you. 212-433-9692. Sonia in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sonia.
I was just calling because this really suits me really well because I'm not originally from New York. I'm from Texas. But over the years, I've seen myself become more and more progressively neurotic. For instance, like I used to think it was great that I could read on the train and, you know, there were so many people in the subways and you could hear all kinds of languages. Now I'm really neurotic about, like, where I sit, I have to sit on the edge. I don't like sitting by the window. I mean, just weird things like that that never used to bother me before.
And is it something about New York that caused this?
Or was it 9/11? Like, there are a lot of people who actually...
Well, I wasn't here for 9/11, so I don't think it was that. But I think it's just because over time, I'm just like, I don't have that same, like... adventure thing about going on the subway and like, oh, this is great, I don't have to drive. Now it's like, oh, I just want to get home and I don't want to be bothered. I don't.
It's like what was interesting at first is now just like, all right, I get it.
Franzi in the East Village has one. Hi, Franzi.
Hey. My big neuroses is like walking home at the end of the day and going to cross the street and three cabs honk at once and either it's raining or it's cold or there's some kind of weather condition adding to that neuroses, and just basically the sound of the cabs honking at once just puts me over the edge.
Is it kind of like the three sneeze rule?
Kind of, yeah. What's... You know, like it's your way at walk home and, you know, I just wish I could go into a field and scream.
Yeah.
What's the three sneeze rule?
You have to sneeze three times. A lot of people have that. It's totally random.
Thank you for your call. Kara in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hi. Well, I think my neurosis is pretty common, and it's germs in the subway. And that is getting onto the train and trying to stand on the train without holding on to a strap or onto any of the railing.
Wow.
Everybody's trying to get near the door so they can lean on the door.
The no silver rule. You don't want to touch silver.
Yeah, you don't want to touch. Well, it's the, is it silver rule? I thought it was just germ rule.
Oh, no, they call it the silver rule because basically anything you can hold on to is silver.
Do you think you ever got sick from anything that happened in the subway, Cara?
No, because I never touch anything. And I can't wait. I think I see other people like this, too. You can't wait till it gets cold enough to wear gloves. You know, because any excuse to put on a pair of gloves so you can hold on to the silver rails.
That's right. It's like the elephant repellent.
It
works very well in New York
because
there are no elephants within 1,000 miles of here.
I actually started wearing summer gloves because of that at one point, thinking it
did
would
you
like,
really?
Yeah, I thought it would like bring back like some chic hot trend. It didn't. It just made me look a little bonkers.
Mary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Brian. I lived in Omaha, Nebraska for 8 years after moving from New York. And the amazing thing about Nebraska is there is so much space that they couldn't understand my conception of a boundary. So if I would move forward, they would come into my space. If I moved to the left, they would move to the left. And I tried to explain to them, which I did explain to them, that in New York, your space is just like granted. You get on the subway, you have your little piece of vertical space. And it's almost like an unwritten rule when you come here. But it's amazing. Once you do leave Manhattan, there is so much space. And people kind of just like roam into your space or insist on sitting on top of you. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Actually, I think that's hilarious because I'm wondering what subway you're riding on, because there's a lot of times I've been on the subway where I'm just like, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, you know, and you can usually tell. It's so funny because you can usually tell old school New Yorkers who will give you the elbow room as opposed to the people who will just cram up right on you.
Yeah, but maybe physically, but there's a certain psychological space that I think New Yorkers give themselves in the subway, which is you could be standing in a crowd of 15 people in 6 square feet and nobody makes eye contact. And if they do, they look at you like you're weird and like, what do you want? And so nobody basically does it. And you have this little piece of personal space.
See, I don't know if I agree with that. I actually think that that's more of a Dinkins era kind of neuroses, where people don't look at each other because they feel like you might get shivved. Whereas now, I find that people do, and they smile, and they kind of like it. Although then sometimes they try to talk, and you have to get off at the next stop.
Getting back to the Karen, and we have an alternative pronouncer for the psychologist's name. You said Hornay. Somebody called up and said, no, 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 it's really Hornay. So I don't know. But
it's just not horny.
Right. So that was my error. But it's Horney. So some of the things from her list, and she wrote from Brooklyn in 1936, but the need to restrict life within narrow borders. I don't know if she meant so narrow as the vertical space on the subway. The neurotic need for social recognition or prestige, as a former writer for the Gossip page 6 in the New York Post. Maybe that has some special resonance to the people you covered. But I don't know, are these things particularly New York, do you think? Because she was writing from her New York experience to restrict life within narrow borders or the neurotic need for social recognition or prestige. We all need some recognition in our life, and we all need some boundaries and borders for definition.
That is true. However, I will say, you know, I worked at Page Six for 10 years. So we definitely started before all the reality stuff became super crazy. It was definitely, there was more competition for it in New York because there were more outlets for it. There are several, you know, we had the Daily News, the Post, the Times, the Observer. Even before the internet blew up, you had a bunch of papers. You had a bunch of magazines, and there was competition to get your photo and to get recognized into these. And it was so bad. It was about 10 years ago that I wrote a book called How to Get Famous, basically. It was, you know, The 9 Secrets of the Rich and Famous. And it was hilarious because one of the things was, you would just watch people. And it was in August, and that week in between Christmas and January, where people would really step up their efforts to get in the paper because nothing else was going on.
And now we have Facebook where we update our status constantly. I'm walking down the block. I'm drinking a cup
totally.
Of coffee.
But it started in New York.
But we have a minute left, but there was a New York Magazine cover a couple of weeks ago, The Kids Are Actually Sort of All Right by Noreen Malone, that really dove into ambition for personal achievement, which is one of Hornay's neuroses, and need for self-sufficiency. The job market has forced us, especially the younger among us, to question personal achievement and self-sufficiency as the ultimate goals in new ways.
I actually feel like it's the job market is creating self-sufficiency in new ways, in which that there are no old dirt jobs for them to go to, so they have to create their jobs. I actually think that this is all a good thing. I'm much more of an optimist than a lot of these naysayers. But I do think that part of this personal recognition is people thinking, well, if I get recognition and people know my name, I can create a job much easier.
Well, you tweeted that you were feeling neurotic about coming on the Brian Lehrer Show. So I hope it wasn't that bad. Paula Froelich, her article about New York neuroses in the New York Observer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Monday we have Tom Brokaw. Monday we have Joyce Carol Oates. And a lot more. Have a great weekend, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.